support your shows, play your music. Before and after that, they're always playing great music. We're so glad to see they're still with us and still thriving and a big part of the Houston music scene and Texas music scene. So rock on, KPFT, Houston.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
So good morning. I think we have, is there music that's going to play or do we jump in?
Jump in, please.
All right. Well, welcome to Amplified Houston on 90.1 FM, KPFT, Specifica Radio in Houston, Texas. KPFT is Houston's community media station. You can listen at 89.5 FM in Galveston and 89.6 in Huntsville. And KPFT is also streamed live on the World Wide Web at kpft.org. All of the programs you hear on KPFT are supported by the generosity of listeners like you. If you listen regularly and like what you hear, please support KPFT by becoming a member. The number is 713-526-5738. Good morning. My name is Dr. Jamie Franey, and I am the director of the Center for School Behavioral Health at Mental Health America of Greater Houston. And in our first segment, we'll be speaking with Dr. Arturo Hernandez, author of Mastery, How Learning Transforms Our Brains, Minds, and Bodies. Dr. Arturo is with the University of Houston. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Dr. Hernandez, and thank you for being there today.
Thank you for inviting me, Dr. Franey. It's great to be here. So you wanted me to tell you about myself, is that correct?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself and, your book.
Sure, I'm a professor at the University of Houston. I've been there for 20 years now. My area of research is basically looking at the brain and how people use language and development. And I've done that for, the majority of my career. And this book, the book Mastery, How Learning Transforms Our Brains, Minds, and Bodies, it came out of sort of my experience learning multiple languages, but also engaging in playing tennis and other skills. And I realized that there was this process that goes on where when you learn something, it doesn't really go in a straight line. It kind of changes, it morphs, it transforms, and it kind of blooms like a flower. And so I wanted to capture that idea and sort of give that a little bit more breadth for people so they could read about it and learn about the brain science, mind science behind that.
Excellent. So When you are thinking about or talking about this science and how the brain works, that seems to be a language all in itself. But I also know that you speak some languages yourself. So what languages do you speak, and which ones were the easiest or hardest to master?
So I speak Spanish and English from birth, right? So
Okay.
I'm simultaneous bilingual. I spend lots of time in Mexico. I grew up in the US, but I spent California, but I spent lots of time in Mexico as a child, during summers, vacations. So I had immersion, full immersion. And then I went for a year when I was 14 to stay with my aunt in Mexico. So I got advanced literacy, which was helpful. At 20, I learned Portuguese. I was 2 years in Brazil, one abroad, and then I took a gap year. So that's my third language. And then the fourth one was German because of all the research stays. That one's by far the hardest because I learned it when I was older, but it's also a harder language and a really and somewhat different than English and Spanish and Portuguese. So those are the four languages I speak.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. What makes German the hardest? What is it about that language?
So German does a lot of there's some things that English does. I mean, actually English is a Germanic language, so you can pick up the types of things German does. It actually has what they call case marking. So it says, like, I gave it to me. Me means I receive it. I means I give it. We have a
Okay.
little bit of that in English, but it turns out in German, they do that for all their nouns. So if the noun is receiving something, the that goes before it is different than the that goes before if it's doing something.
Oh,
So
wow.
you have to
Okay.
keep track of that. That's one thing. The second thing is it has also what they call grammatical gender. Grammatical gender is this el carro, la casa. We know it from Spanish. They have it in German too. So you have both what they call case marking, who's doing what to whom, and gender marking that you have to keep track of. And then they have an advanced verb system as well. So they conjugate like Spanish. So it's like you have like all these things to keep track of. That you don't have to keep some of them you do keep track of. I do keep track of in English and Spanish, just not all of them all the time. So it's harder that way.
It seems very complex. So, speaking of complexity, in your book, you discuss how larger skills are built from smaller ones. So, can you s explain that process?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an interesting story. I met Tom Beyer virtually. We've never met in person. Tom Beyer is a this soccer coach. He actually won a prize from FIFA for his technical
Okay.
coaching skills.
Wow.
If you want to think, I don't think he's solely responsible for Japan becoming a superpower, but he was on TV every morning. He's extremely influential in Japan, interestingly. And his whole idea was that all great soccer players start at home and they don't start like an organized practice. So what he did is he took these little soccer balls and stuck them all over his house. And he has videos of his 16-year-old son walking with the soccer ball. And then at three, a year and a half later, manipulating it, he would do a little things, take it away from them. And then at 11, 12, looking like a soccer genius. And so his whole point was you have to move with the ball. That's the core part of soccer. That's the small skill. And then you build from that small skill across time to create the bigger skill of playing a game, as opposed to what he saw coaches doing, which is having kids kick a lot and then they just throw them in a game.
Wow. So that translates to probably quite a few areas of life. So that's a great example of how building or starting off with smaller skills and kind of building them can help to transform our mindsets and our brains. How would you apply that then to health behaviors, if you will?
Sorry, can you define health behaviors?
So healthy eating,
Oh,
making
help.
sure you're sleeping 8 hours a night, or making sure you're taking time for self-care or taking
That's
time to.
a great question, actually. So my wife, Naomi Madel Hernandez, actually is a licensed marriage family therapist, and she was doing a training on sleep. And when spouses do trainings and that, you overhear stuff, you learn stuff. And one thing that I learned from that, and was interesting because it was on insomnia, was that if one of the treatments, that's my understanding from that, I didn't take the whole training, but that's what I got out of it, was you just When you wake up in the middle of the night, you don't try to go to sleep. You just get up, you do something, watch TV, read a book, whatever. And then when you're tired, you go back to sleep. So that's like a small little thing that people can do, right? Again, I'm not an insomnia expert. This is what I learned from this training, but that was an example of something that's really, really small that it's like, okay, how do I get through the night sleeping? Well, don't try to get through the night. Just get up when you're not sleepy until you're sleepy, and then you go to bed. And so your bed is associated with sleep, not with trying to go to sleep.
Gotcha. So that's really helpful to kind of master some of these more health behaviors and healthy thinking and engaging in healthy relationships. So I could see that even applying to someone that was wanting to just kind of improve their self-esteem. It's like taking every day and reading or saying something that's impactful or saying something affirmative, and then over time that kind of builds up and your brain actually starts to take that in as the normal, as what is what's expected. And so it changes your frame of mind. So that's awesome. So in your book, you have a chapter that sums up five tips about the book. So what made you write those in Spanish?
Yeah, that's funny. It's a funny story. Well, so they rhyme in Spanish, right? It's voluntad, habilidad, oportunidad, flexibilidad, y claridad. They almost work in English. It's will or volition, ability, opportunity, flexibility, clarity. The first one doesn't rhyme in English. Otherwise, it would have just worked fine. So that's why the five are in Spanish. And the five are basically, what do you like to do? What do you, what are you going, what do you like to do naturally? Or, and again, it could also involve doing things that you don't like, because there's something greater that you do like. So you may go to the gym and work out because you want to, be stronger, to feel healthier, for example. Abilities, so that's, will. Ability is what are you good at, of course. What nat you could call it natural inclinations, whatever you want to do. Opportunity, we all need a chance. Somebody opens a door opens for us. Flexibility is, of course, we have to change course. Sometimes things don't go exactly the way we expect them. And then clarity is the hardest. Clarity is like suddenly you get this, wow, aha, okay, I get this. There's something I didn't know before, and I now see the path. But of course, we have to go through this in cycles. And so there's cycles where the clarity goes away and we have to go through them over and over again.
So, where can people buy your book?
They can buy it on Prometheus. Prometheus Books has a website, or wherever they shop online.
Okay, wonderful. And how can people find out more about you, Dr. Hernandez?
They can go to my website, hernandezarturo.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. We are excited to have you on and to promote your book on mastery, how learning transforms our brains, minds, and bodies. So thank you, Dr. Hernandez. And
Thank
we
you,
are
Dr.
going to take
Freeney.
a, oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Freeney.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with State Representative, our Texas State Representative, Armando Wally of District 140. We are back with Amplified Houston on KPFT 90.1 FM. We have with us Texas State Representative Armando Wally of District 140. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Dr. Freeney. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So tell us a bit about yourself and your journey to this Texas State House.
Oh boy, that's well, I've been in office. Thanks for the question. I've been in office now 8 terms, so 16 years. I was elected back in 2008 in that big Obama wave, and it was obviously an honor to be on that ballot in such a historic election. I'm from North Houston, grew up on Hirsch and Parker, attended public schools in the Aldine Independent School District, and attended University of Houston, was an intern at City Hall, worked for two members of Congress, and then decided to run for the legislature because I thought we needed some you know, bolder leadership, more aggressive leadership on issues that I was looking and observing as I grew up. You know, had a dad who had gone to prison when I was in eighth grade, and watching him, not that he didn't deserve to be in prison, but he's still my father, still somebody that I love dearly. And, absolutely, you know, people make mistakes. My mother had me when she was 16. My dad was from Mexico. My mother had me when she was 16 at MacArthur High School. And so I'm a father. I have my wife, Debbie, and two boys, 13 and 10. And I'm a practicing attorney, but also a member of the legislature now. So just that's a short, quick snap of who I am and where I come from, and just love what I do and been able to be successful at it.
That's awesome. Yes. And congratulations. I know that you've done some incredible work and made some incredible strides for folks in Houston. So what part of Houston is your district in?
So roughly it is, I would say just north of the 610 loop, 59 to the east, going up to around Aldine Bender, just south of the Beltway. And my western boundary is actually Veterans Memorial, but roughly 45 to the west. And then the Hardy Toll Road cuts the district right in half. So kind of that Greens Point-ish area over to the west, and then the Aldine area, and then parts of Northside, because I have three, well, I actually have five high schools, but three that are probably more known, MacArthur, Aldine, Sam Houston, NHISD, and I have some P-TECH high schools, Rose Avalos P-TECH High School is a new school here. The Blanson CTE school in Aldine is a new school. These are just schools that have just popped up with the leadership of some of our, to give kids options on their normal schooling.
Oh, that's incredible. Yes, education has certainly been a hot topic in Houston and the state of Texas. And so to hear that there are high schools that are at least offering various services and various opportunities to youth is really great. So speaking of high schools, we know that high schools are an integral part of a community. And you have a particular interest in community development. So can you tell us what does that phrase mean to you? What does that look like?
Well, to me, it's uplifting communities where they've been neglected for far too long, bringing in public, bringing in private, bringing in nonprofit dollars to offer opportunity, not a handout, but opportunity for folks to better themselves. So what I mean by that is I'm now sitting on a 60-acre tract of land that one of our management district, the East Aldine Management District, assesses a one penny sales tax within a certain geographic area of Harris County in unincorporated part of the county. And what we did in purchasing this land is, one, we partnered with Baker Ripley. So I want to give a shout out to Baker Ripley. They built probably a $25 million facility here that houses a clinic, houses a makerspace for young people to come and use this high-tech equipment to build things. We have senior center here. We have a FQHC, Hope Clinic, is on campus. That's the nonprofit sides. We want to give them a shout out for building their facility. Or actually, it's three buildings. I'm on the back end of that property at the East End Aldine Management District. We again assess the one penny sales tax, but we've been able to with those dollars, we've been able to get people. We have people out here who don't have sewer and water connections, so we've gotten people connected to a municipal wastewater service because the environmental impact of people that are just on septic tanks can be pretty drastic environmentally, and just, you know, wastewater obviously needs to go into the proper places. And so that's one way we've been able to help. On the back end, you have the Harris County 911 Center moved out here. And so it's a state-of-the-art Harris County, the sheriff's sheriff's office. So Ed Gonzalez, they built a new facility. And right next to us is actually a Lone Star College satellite campus. And right next to that, so it's offering college-level classes for young people, adults, in our community, so they don't have to travel far to get educated. They have a public safety academy here, so those that want to be firefighters, police officers, they can get their certifications here. They have a welding program, and they have all these other programs here that are helpful to our folks in educating them. But right next to that, Aldine Independent, we partnered with Aldine Independent School District. We built a Rose Avalos P-Tech High School that offers a pathway for careers for young people that want to get into the legal profession, they want to get into cybersecurity, they want to get into teaching. And so those are the three career paths that we've partnered with, actually with Lone Star College and Aldine Independent School District. So I want to give a shout out to Dr. Goffney at Aldine Independent School District. She's the superintendent, but also the school board of trustees, but also yes. Chancellor Mario Castillo, who's the chancellor of Lone Star College. So we have now an immersion program where kids that graduate from Rose Avalos P-Tech High School, they get their high school diploma, but also they can get they can earn an associate's degree. And then we have a partnership. We're trying to create a seamless transition from Aldine Independent School District, Lone Star College, to U of H downtown. So I've met with all three. Dr. Blanchard, U of H downtown, met with all three. We're trying to get a memorandum of understanding so that kids in this community can earn their way to a livable wage, right? Because that's empowering, is when you educate people, young people, so they can get a job and be able to, you know, help their families and be good, decent human beings. And so it's just wonderful what we're doing out here. This whole campus is about over $100 million campus that is public, private, and nonprofit monies that have gone to build this community up.
Wow, that's incredible. And can you talk a little bit more, Representative Wally, about how that came together, in case there are other communities that really want to build on the collaborative part? Like, how did those entities come to the table? Was it one person that invited everybody to the table, or was it, you know, how did that start? And I'm asking this because it community partnerships is really critical and crucial, I think, to the development, the healthy development of our young people. And there may be other communities that want to replicate this model. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, no. This has been a years long in the making, probably the last 10, 15 years. My office, pretty much we got everybody in the room. And there was already the management district, East Aldine Management District, already had a facilities committee. And so what we wanted to do is build upon that, because we knew we wanted to build something out here. We wanted to develop something. But really what we wanted in it was obviously senior center, educational opportunities, entrepreneurial opportunities. So what we did in my office is I spoke directly to the CEO of Baker Ripley. She, at the time, it was Angela Blanchard. Now it's Claudia Vasquez. And so I went to her and said, hey, we have this, we need y'all services out here in Aldine. And so initially they were not, they were still trying to build Gulfton. And so what ended up happening is we convinced them over time that they would, if they could come over here, if the land wasn't an issue, because the management district is the one that purchased the land and it laid vacant for years. And so some of us just had a vision of, look, we want to work with Lone Star College. Let's go get Dr. Head at the time. And so I met with Dr. Head and said, hey, and we had a whole bunch of other members of city council, the mayors of members of Congress. We basically got in a meeting, got in one room. Okay. And said, hey, Dr. Head, we need this facility out here. Well, that as that domino fell, we reached out to Harris County, said, hey, we want to be partners with you. Can we build our 911 center back there? Absolutely. We carved out a piece of land for them. Aldine ISD was one of the last ones, because they were looking to offer more opportunities for kids out here. And so they built their magnet program out here in the Rose Avalos P-Tech High School. Dr. Goffney and at the time it was Dr. Bamberg, And we got in a room with her. And so it's just been a labor of love. And so when we broke ground, it was not just one person. It was everybody pretty much checked their egos at the door and said, we need, this is bigger than one person. But I would just want to stress that it just takes a lot of tenacity, a lot of vision. Not taking no for an answer when you get doors, you know, that are close to you. And I just so proud because I think I at least in this effort, I was not the engine, but the spark plug. The engine and the heart are the community members that get to participate, in this facility. Because when I see young kids, there's a big playground out here. There's an amphitheater out here. There's a nice walking trail around the lake around here. So when I see a senior citizen come to get food for lunch like today, Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Mother's, I would say Mexican Mother's Day.
absolutely. So
it's always on the 10th. So it's just when you see grandma here, abuelitas, aunties and uncles, big mama comes over.
Yes, come over.
When you see families, moms and strollers walking the trails. When you see a young person, I met a young man a couple weeks ago. He had all his equipment and he had all his welding gear. And I just sparked up a conversation with him. And I said, hey, well, you know, how are you doing? He goes, this welding program is going to get my life back in order. Right. Talking to the teachers that are so dedicated to their students, but shout out to all the teachers because it's a teacher appreciation week. They need a raise. Our public schools need help. So shout out to our public schools.
They do. And we want to shout out to you, Representative Wally. You have just been an incredible leader, an incredible voice for the community, and an incredible model for the changes and the things that will have to come in the future as Houston is moving forward, as Houston is growing in population. And so, again, we thank you for your leadership. And we also thank you for being here with us today. We also would like to thank Dr. Arturo Hernandez, the author of Mastery, How Learning Transforms Our Brains, Minds, and Bodies. That book is available now. And this has been Amplified Houston, a collaborative production of 5 nonprofit organizations, Baker Ripley, Boys and Girls Clubs of Houston, Children at Risk, the Houston Food Bank, and the YMCA of Greater Houston, along with listener-sponsored commercial-free radio, KPFT. KPFT is Houston's community media station.
It's now or never. Come hold me tight. Kiss me, my darling.
I feel like doing a nasty song. I hope you don't mind, and if you do, I got this microphone. It just kind of comes with it. Sorry.
KPFT Artist Profile, Carolyn Wonderland.
Well, when I was a kid, that was a radio station that I would listen to at night under my pillows and in the dark when I was, you know, I thought it was very subversive and I couldn't wait to escape my bedroom and come to the Montrose. So yeah, it was a beacon in the night, man. It's the first time I got to hear queer radio, first time I got to hear what was going on in the Texas prisons. I mean, to me, it's not just music, but it was information. It was stuff that I would have never heard in the suburbs. As soon as I had a chance, I moved as close to KPFT as I could.
Listen for her music and other local artists right here on KPFT.
Tired of the BS? Sick of the spin? Ticked off at the whining? Yeah, me too. So turn up that radio and hang with me, Arnie Arneson, host of The Attitude. It's never too early to get the story straight.
Tune into The Attitude with Arnie Arneson, weekday mornings at 5 on KPFT.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at 2 major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives. But he was there beside me,